Great morning, everyone, and welcome to yet another episode of Thank God for Monday. I'm Brother Greg Cellini of the Franciscan Brothers of Brooklyn and the Office of Mission, Ministry, and Interfaith Dialogue at St. Francis College in beautiful Brooklyn, New York. My great pleasure to be back again with you today. The purpose of our show, Thank God for Monday, is to inspire you, our audience, to take personal responsibility for your professional satisfaction. We want to provide you hope, healing, and peace in these unprecedented, turbulent, uncertain times, motivate you to search deep inside yourself in the quest for fulfillment. Listeners, it's really up to you as how to utilize the information we provide today. Take full accountability for the decisions you make and a resulting outcome. Now, one of the goals of our show, Thank God for Monday, is to introduce role models of people who take very bold steps in their work lives. This is a very special month, January, which is Get Organized and Be Productive Month, also known as Go Month. This is an annual initiative sponsored by the National Association of Productivity and Organizing Professionals, also known as NAPO, N-A-P-O. And as such, we have with us today a very, very special guest. Her name is Jan Arkwright. Jan is president of Before and After Organizing by Jan LLC. Through this business, she brings her passion for organizing, her attention to detail, and her incredible project management skills to each and every client. Jan takes her clients' confidentiality and privacy very, very seriously. She is a member of the Institute for Challenging Disorganization and a Golden Circle member of NAPO. She adheres always to the code of ethics of both of these great organizations. Great morning and welcome to Thank God for Monday, Jan.
Great morning. Thank you so much for having me, Greg.
The honor is all ours, certainly. Kindly share with the listeners and me from what city and state you're speaking from this morning.
I am speaking from Manhasset, New York, which is in Nassau County on Long Island. Pretty close over the Queens border.
Yes, you just made the listeners and me very, very jealous. A beautiful, beautiful place to be on a nice Saturday morning, that's for sure. Jan, sadly, we've only got 30 minutes. We could spend hours talking about your amazing background, this incredible business that you started. We're going to jump right into the deep end of the pool. Now, we're curious, the listeners and I, were you born in Manhasset and did you there obtain your primary and secondary education?
I was not. I am actually a Brooklyn girl myself, born and bred in Brooklyn. Both my primary and high school were in Brooklyn, Bensonhurst actually for high school. And I then went to college in Boston, where I got to blend my Brooklynese with Bostonese together. And then returned back to New York when I went to law school.
Wow. Let's unpack some of this, please. So you grew up in beautiful Bensonhurst, Brooklyn, the home of incredible bakeries, that's for sure. But I guess you go to school there, you're a high school senior, you've got a decision to make to whether to go to college or not. It sounds like you did go to college. Share with us a little bit about where you obtained your undergraduate college degree and what you studied there, please.
Sure. I went to Boston College, which is in Chestnut Hill, Massachusetts. That is a beautiful suburb. I studied history, which is clue four, key two, like what are you going to do with the rest of your life? And it was there that I decided that I would then pursue a law degree.
Wow. So you were a Boston College Eagle. And
I am a Boston College Eagle. And I was actually there for the Doug Flutie not at the stadium, but it was my freshman year, was the Doug Flutie Hail Mary pass.
Oh my goodness.
So it was an exciting time to be there. Yep.
Absolutely. Now, is it the Jesuits that you would have had there? Because
correct.
I know that they're great educators, Charlene. I'm sure you got a fantastic education. Now,
I
it's
did.
very interesting. Did you go there with the intention of being like a history teacher, or you wanted just that history foundation to move forward with?
I just really always loved history. My dad was a huge history buff, is a huge history buff, and he kind of instilled that in my sister and I, and I just always loved history. So I knew going in, this is what I wanted to study, but I wasn't entirely convinced that I was going to go to law school. And then just the way it played out, I just found myself drawn to the profession. And I said, I think I'll go. And
That
I did.
is absolutely awesome. Very courageous on your part. So you graduate Boston College, and then do I perceive you went right to law school? You didn't go work for a couple of years. You went right to law school.
Correct. I did. I moved back home to Brooklyn and I went to St. John's Law School. So I went right from BC right into law school at St. John's.
Wow. So you went from being an eagle to a red stormer then.
I did. I did.
That's great. A lot of people talk about law school, how difficult it is, how challenging. Do you want to share, Jan, a little bit with the listeners and me about your experience at St. John's Law, please?
I mean, it was a great experience. I loved St. John's. I had wonderful professors. I made great friends. Is it challenging? It is. It is. I will definitely tell you that. You really have to like to learn. You have to have, you know, some focus, some discipline, you know, and as typical in most law schools, when you're at orientation and you're sitting down, the dean stands up and says, look to your left, look to your right. One of you isn't going to be here by the time graduation rolls around.
Wow.
And it is very true. So if you're willing to put in the work and it's something that you want, it's like everything else in life. It's doable, but it was challenging.
Oh, I could imagine. Must you mention the word discipline? And that's something I would make a terrible lawyer. I could never even get to law school because I have terrible discipline, certainly. But indeed, it sounds like one has to be disciplined to make sure they study hard, study correctly, things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you graduate, I guess, St. John's Law School, and then you take the bar exam in New York. Is that how that works, more or less?
Correct. Okay. I did. I took the bar exam in New York, and then I was fortunate enough that during law school, I had a job at a law firm, and they extended me an offer after graduation. So that made my job search after graduation very easy because it was the summer of my second year, because law school is 3 years, so at the summer of my second year, they extended me at the end of the summer an invitation to stay on. So I was fortunate that I had a job.
Well, that's great, but I'm sure your work ethic had a lot to do with it, that you really were adding a lot of value to this firm. And that's why they certainly wanted to keep you on. So you graduate law school and you start working with this firm. Tell us more about being a lawyer, please. And was there some specific type of law that you were practicing at that point in time?
So at this law firm, the division, the department I was in was primarily commercial litigation. So I worked, the firm represented several banks and I worked in commercial litigation. Slowly the makeup of the firm changed. And from there, I was put into the foreclosure department because this was in the 90s, in the early 90s.
Oh, wow.
Foreclosures were happening often and everywhere. So for a while, I did foreclosure, eviction, and some bankruptcy.
Wow. So now, do I perceive correctly when you say like foreclosure or bankruptcy, these were people who couldn't pay their mortgage anymore. And then you were representing the bank, though. You were not representing the individuals.
Correct. We always represented the lender.
Wow. Okay. You being a wonderful Catholic, certainly, and someone with a huge Franciscan heart, was it difficult at times to try to bring suit or to repossess a house or anything to that nature? I know business is business, certainly, but you're such an ethical, wonderful person and big-hearted person, as I say. Was there any conflict there at all?
You know, one thing I learned through this process is banks are very, very eager to work with you. They don't want your house back. They want you to keep your house because then they have to take your house. Then they have to sell it. They don't get as much. So they are very willing to work with you.
Wow.
At least back in the day, they were. Yeah. And many of the files that came across my desk actually never fully went to foreclosure because along the way, a payment plan would be worked out. I would say the majority never fully foreclose. Oh. I did have some that did. I did have some evictions. The ones that you always felt bad for were the ones that truly tried and they just couldn't. Sure. I did find that medical debt gets a lot of people into very sad. Yeah. But there were a few people who were just riding the system very well, knew they could stay in their house for a very long time without paying the bank anything.
Wow. And
those you didn't feel quite so bad about. Sure. But the majority of people actually never fully made it to the end of foreclosure.
Wow. Well, fascinating, certainly. Now, at some point in time, I don't know how many years later, you're motivated to leave practicing law to make this incredible professional transformation into the organizing profession. Tell us about this transformation, please, Jill.
So I had been working at this law firm and then I changed actually to another law firm in Bay Ridge, went back to my roots.
Oh.
In Bay Ridge, and I was working there and both times, both firms that I was at, as much as I loved the people, I never really loved the work. I felt that a lot of things were to delay. A lot of tactics, serving a motion, you know, everything was like, who could serve the bigger motion? Who could delay? And maybe it was just by virtue of the law I was in. And that's just kind of not me. I am very much a make a list, cross it off the list, figure out a project, keep it moving. So I had actually, my husband had read an article in the New York Times way back when about NAPO, the National Association of Productivity and Organizing Professionals. And it was an article in the New York Times and it was about their New York chapter. And he showed it to me and you could just attend a meeting. And I said, I'm going to go. This is me. You know, when we first got married, right, all the cans are lined up and the refrigerator is all organized and he would move it. And I'd be like, you touch that can. So he said, I think you should check this out. So I went to a meeting and I walked into the room and I was like, these are my people. They love staples. They love the hangers all go one way. This was before the Container Store, but they love the Container Store. And I just said, this is something that I never knew you could make a living at. And it's something I've been doing my whole life, not knowing it was a profession. It was a very young profession at the time. But it was a profession.
Wow. Okay. So how does it happen then that you start and become the president, I guess, and founder of Before and After Organizing by Jan LLC? Tell us all about it. This took a lot of courage, Jan, to leave a very comfortable and I'm sure well-paying attorney role that you had.
It did. It did. So I would go to meetings. I would learn from other people. And slowly I said, okay, I'm going to come up with a name. I'm going to incorporate myself and I'm going to start. And I started by offering my services to friends and family for free on weekends or things like that.
Okay, so you were still working. You were still working as an attorney.
I was still working as an attorney. And then, you know, people, organizing is very much a word of mouth business, despite social media and despite, you know, people don't really advertise as much as word of mouth, because it's very personal to let somebody into your home. So I started getting a few clients and I said, okay, you can't do law part-time. You're either in or you're out. So I decided, a friend of mine actually had started a software business, and he needed part-time help as like a human resources manager. And he said, listen, why don't you come work for me? And you can work for me a few hours a week. You still get income while you're building your business.
Wow, how brilliant.
So that's what I did. And then slowly, as my business grew, I said, okay, I think I can make a go of this. And I quit that job and I just started doing it full time.
Wow, that's amazing. Now, you being an attorney would be well suited for this question. You mentioned about incorporating. That was important for you for certain protections, et cetera, liabilities, et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly. And the industry is very different now. They actually have, like back then, there was no such thing as liability insurance for organizers. So incorporating kind of protected you and, you know, your assets and yourself from liability. Now there is professional liability insurance for organizers. So I've restructured. Now I am an LLC because as the laws changed and things like that. But back then, incorporating, you didn't have to, but being a lawyer, being married to a lawyer who is a corporate lawyer, it was like, well, you're incorporating. Okay. So that's kind of what we did, but it did offer a layer of protection.
Oh, that's wonderful. Let's take a deep dive into this great business of yours. What services are you offering at this time, Jan, please?
So I am what in the industry they consider a generalist, which means I don't specifically organize just one thing. So there are organizers who say just do moves or just do photo management. I do a little bit of everything, usually not photos, but I do a little bit of everything. Primarily, I do decluttering. I come into your home or your small business and I help you clear out the clutter. I help you set up systems. I help you manage paper. Pretty much, as I say, from attics to basements and everything in between. So if you want your kitchen, your closet, your home office, your garage, I help you get rid of what's not needed and then figure out the best way to store and set up systems for what is. I do also, and part of my reason for joining the Institute for Challenging Disorganization, as you mentioned earlier, over the years, I have found that, and whether it's just me and they're drawn to me or I'm drawn to them, I do tend to get clients who are chronically disorganized or what they call neurotypical, like ADHD, autism. There's a lot of ADHD clients that come my way. And those are really people who truly have a hard time organizing. Those are really, I get such joy out of really helping somebody and making a difference. But I do a little bit of everything. I tend not to do too many moves. There's a lot of people now that's become a very specialized area. So I tend not to do a lot of moves. I will do more unpacks or help sometimes with the pack up. But pretty much other than that, if you have a vision or a goal or an organizing project that's always been, you know, on your mind, like I really need to set up my filing system.
Sure.
Definitely something like that.
This is so valuable for so many reasons. Now, maybe this is an unfair question, but attorneys Are they generally very organized? Or are they generally very unorganized? It depends on the individual, maybe. Share a little bit about that, please.
It does depend on the individual. I would say most attorneys are not organized. As a matter of fact, when I started in NAPO and I started going to those chapter meetings way back when, I met another woman similar in age, same background, had been an attorney, did not enjoy it, had started her own business. And the two of us kind of said, well, why don't we join up? Because one of the things we did hear from attorneys from organizing is, well, I can't hire a professional organizer because they come in and tell me to throw out everything. And we were like, you know, that's not how we would be, because we understand the industry and we know what you have to keep, what they have to keep. So we paired up and had our own business together, which my name is Jan. Her name is Debbie. So we called it JD Organizing.
Oh, wow.
We would organize attorneys. We would also speak, because organization was could fall as a continuing legal ed credit. So we would speak to attorneys. But I would say that most attorneys, you know, it's a very, even in this day and age, depending upon the type of law, but it's still a very paper heavy business.
Sure.
So paper management and filing systems, it's still relevant.
I would imagine, certainly. Now, I can tell we've got a lot of listeners out there this morning, and they're saying, gee, I want to be more organized. That why is it important? Why is it important for people in the workplace, especially those just starting their careers, to be organized? Help us out, please, Jan.
Well, the more organized you are, it definitely helps to boost your productivity, and it helps to increase your focus. Because when your area, especially your workspace, is cluttered, it is very visually distracting. And a lot of, I won't say everybody, but most people have a harder time when it's visually distracting. So if you take out the visual distractions, you're better able to focus on what's in front of you. Also, if you have things all over your desk and somebody says, I need this, or you want to work on this, and you're like, I know it was here somewhere. Let me just find it.
Oh, wow.
So now you've wasted, even if it takes you 3 minutes, 4 minutes, some people it could take them 10 minutes. You've wasted time you could otherwise be working trying to find what you're looking for.
Exactly.
So the more organized you are, the less time you spend looking for things, the more work you'll be able to do, and the better focus you will have for that mental clarity.
That is terrific. Now, dovetailing that, do you have a tip maybe that for the listeners and me, as soon as this Monday morning, if we go back to work, when we go back to work, to get a little more organized, to be a little more organized?
I always tell, and I do this myself, so I do practice what I preach, is plan your tomorrow today. So when you wake up in the morning, you can hit the ground running. So take time at the end of the workday, take 5 minutes, look at your schedule, figure out what tomorrow is, figure out what you need to do, who you have to call, where you have to be, and plan it out so that in the morning you can just get up and you say, okay, I know what my day is. And for some people, they say, well, I'm too tired at night. Okay, so plan your next day in the morning before you start, but you should go into your workday with a plan. And in that plan, always build in time for the distraction, the unexpected thing that comes up. Because a lot of people will say, well, I'm going to accomplish these 10 things, and they've got them all listed out. But realistically, maybe there's not enough hours in the day to accomplish those 10 things. So figure out really what you need for the next day, the night before, if possible, or that morning. So that's like one of my top tips, because if you can really kind of shape your workday the day before, that's, it really gets you off to a good start. And another way to do it is, or expanding on that idea, I tell people on your Sunday, perhaps, take time Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening, look at your week, take in your whole week, see what your week is going to encompass, and figure out what you need to do, where you need to be, who you have to see. So if your whole week is encompassed, then when you go back to plan your day, it's like project management. You're taking the big project and you're breaking it up into smaller pieces. And that makes a big difference.
No question about that. I love both of those tips, because sometimes what I'll do, unfortunately, I'll look at my calendar that morning only to discover I'd missed a meeting or a call. Total disorganization. Yeah, absolutely. Sadly, Jan, we've only got about 5 minutes. We could talk for hours, but we still have a couple of questions I do want to ask you.
Sure.
So apparent you love being an organization professional.
I do.
What's a thing or two you really love about it, please?
I definitely love the helping people. I love when I walk in and somebody is really kind of skittish, they're doubtful. Most people start out with, I can't do it, I tried, or they get very down on themselves. And we start to work at it and, you know, break it up into small steps. I start with their goal. What's your goal? Let's break it up into small steps. And then it's not just me coming in and saying, okay, why don't you go have a cup of coffee? I'm going to clean your desk. It's you being next to me and working together. It's me knowing you, how you work, so I can teach you, because the goal at the end is to teach the other person how to maintain these systems. And then when somebody does maintain it, or they get it and they're like, this is great, I understand now, and I follow back up with them, or at our next session, they were like, Jan, that was great. I had such a more productive day, or I was able to find my children's hats and gloves without a scramble in the morning. Wow. I love that feeling of, it's making a difference in like somebody's everyday life.
That's so beautiful, certainly. Now, we're in the month of January. It is indeed Get Organized and Be Productive month. How do you recommend the listeners and I celebrate the rest of this great month, please?
So the goal behind Goal Month is basically to not only make listeners aware, or people aware of the professional organizing industry as a whole, but it's also so people can say, you know what, I'm going to take, whether it's one goal I've had or two smaller goals, two goals, and I'm going to take this month and I'm going to accomplish that at the end of the month. So it's, let's say you said, and I'm not saying this for any reason other than I'm looking at your bookshelf. So let's say you said, you know what, my goal has been for a long time, it's overcrowded, I have books I don't read, things I don't need. I'm going to make Go Month my month to tackle that bookshelf. And schedule time in your calendar the way you would any other appointment. You say, okay, on Wednesday of this week between 4 and 5, I'm going to start doing that. I'm going to take everything off the shelf, the first two shelves. Then on Saturday, I'm going to take what I can donate. So the idea is to make people kind of say, part of this whole, you know, new year, new you, it's to make people aware that, hey, you know what? Let's take this month, pick something you've wanted to do, set a goal for yourself, and bring awareness to the fact of, get something done by the end of the month that you've really wanted to accomplish in your organized vision of what you want your life to look like.
That is brilliant, certainly. And I know that I'm going to follow that. I'm hoping, I'm sure our listeners will as well. We've saved the most important question, Jan, for last. How can our loyal listeners best follow you and contact you for some more nuggets, please?
I have a website, www.organizingbyjan.com. I also, with the same Organizing by Jan, am on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. So feel free to follow me. And if anyone is interested in any other information, I have my email in there, my phone number. Somebody can definitely reach out.
Terrific. Listeners, no excuse. We're into 2024 January. This is a wonderful month, certainly, to get organized, to be productive month. No excuses for you or me, certainly. This has got to be a year we're going to be more organized. You heard what Jan said. Organization, more productivity, more enjoyment in our workplace and our personal lives, etc. We've had a great Franciscan with us today. You know, she could have held on to all this greatness inside of herself. No, what did she do? She shared it. She came on, thank God, for Monday. Now it's your turn. Reach out to her. Get some more nuggets. Take what we talked about today. Implement them. I know I'm going to do my best to do so. And let's make it a great, great 2024 for ourselves, for others and the world. No question about that. Jan Arkwright, we can't thank you enough for coming on, thank God, for Monday today.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, we've been enlightened. I tell you, we've been inspired. We've been inspired to get our lives and our acts much more organized, certainly. So continued success, joy, happiness, contribution in this amazing work that you're doing. And enjoy the rest of your life, go month.
Thank you.
Listeners, guess what? Once again, we're out of time. Greg saying our hope and prayer is that when you wake up on Monday morning, just like Jan does, you'll say, thank God for Monday. Until next week's episode, have a great week, everyone. Bye-bye.